Most know of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but most miss what activates the power of the good news. My guest, Isaac Petrie, wants to teach you about the activator. Next. I've thought for myself in every area of life, but one, I knew nothing.
Until I discovered a realm where the truth isn't what it seems. A realm where the truth becomes reality.
I've spent over 50 years investigating the world of the supernatural. Every moment has led up to the main event. Millions of Jewish people will be saved all over the world. God's heart is for all to believe, for none to perish. It's called the greater glory. Do you believe?
It's supernatural.
The Holy Spirit is so welcome here. Go and flow. My guest, Isaac Petrie, was a believer in Messiah Jesus and filled with the Spirit by age 21. And he had a life-changing vision. Tell me about it.
Oh, it's what called me into the ministry, where we had, you remember these big old family Bible. We had had it so long over the years where it had begun to fall apart. But one night when I was praying, getting ready, sensing my call to ministry, I was in prayer and I determined I was going to pray all night long because I was seeking the Lord, just seeking a dimension in the Spirit. When that Bible was illuminated to me in prayer, it was as if the Lord took it off the shelf, put it in my face and said, "Do you see this Bible?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you see the covers off? Do you see pages missing? Do you see chapters missing? Do you see things torn?" I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "This is what I'm calling you to do for the rest of your life. You are going to be used to restore truths that have gone missing in my church. And I'm going to use you to take revelations that seem like the body has not moved into, things that the enemy has tried to suppress. And I'm going to use you to put certain truths, revelations, and pages of my book back together and minister them to a new generation." And that night I received my call to ministry. And part of my assignment is to make sure everything that is in the book gets in the book and gets preached to the people of God.
As a young man, having a vision of that magnitude, what effect did it have on you at the time?
It changed my life forever because I came out of a certain denomination and background that didn't teach me about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And so I never knew what a dream was, a vision. And when I had that to be my first vision, as my call to ministry, it shaped me for the rest of my life, and nobody could tell me that the Spirit of God was not real.
Many teach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Jesus. But you say, and God told you this is your assignment to reveal,
yes,
there's something very missing.
Yes.
Not that that isn't true,
right,
and important, but there's something missing.
Absolutely. I was taught the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus was the full gospel. We sang songs about it. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. I was taught when I preached, always preach the death, burial, and resurrection to the degree they told me I couldn't close a sermon out unless I talked about the resurrection. And even though what they said was not incorrect, The death, burial, and resurrection is absolutely essential. They were not incorrect, but however, they were incomplete. That there was a dimension that they left off, which is the consummation of our salvation, and that is the ascension and seating of Jesus at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus came out of the grave, His last act of completion to the redemptive work was that the Bible says that He ascended into heaven
right.
and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the reason we know this is the consummation of our salvation is because Ephesians 2:6 says, "And He sat us with Him in the heavenly places," which means my salvation is not complete with just resurrection. My salvation is complete with the ascension and seating. And I say it like this: the resurrection changed my spiritual condition, but the ascension now shifted my spiritual position. And until my condition and position are restored, then I've not walked fully into what Jesus died for us to have. And so the finished work is us seated, not just saved, but seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. The ascension is the missing piece.
Okay, use the term heavenly places. Explain heavenly places.
To make it very clear, it's just the realm of spiritual activity. It's the realm of spiritual existence. It is the realm of angelic activity. It is the realm of demonic activity. It is the spirit world. Jesus, when He came out the grave, said, "All power has been given to Me in heaven and on earth," which means He owns every realm. And even to the degree where the Apostle Paul says, every knee is going to bow in things of heaven, earth, and beneath the earth. So it means the realm in which He governs all spiritual activity. It is underneath His authority, and this is where He sat us with Him. It was in the heavenly places, which means the real role of the believer is not to just affect change on the earth, but also in the realm of the spirit. Right now, we are seated in these chairs physically.
Right.
But it means that our spirits have been given an authority in the spirit world. It means that we carry the rank, the rule. We carry the authority of Jesus in the spirit world where His authority reigns and rules. When He rose from the dead, He was made the captain of our salvation. He rules it all. But even though He has authority in that realm, He chose the church to be the ones who would exercise that authority in that realm. And so while we're sitting here physically, we can shift things spiritually in a whole nother realm, and that's what we have been called to do.
Now, you use a phrase that it's so simple, yet so profound and so powerful. You say, we have authority to displace, that's a strong word, displace the devil.
Absolutely. I asked the Lord, I says, like, okay, if you're going to spoil principalities and powers, and if you rose from the dead and you got all of this power, then why didn't you just deal with the devil? Why didn't you just shut down everything? And He said this phrase to me, because my assignment was to defeat him, but your assignment is to displace him, which means that we were created to rule. And so Jesus got all of this authority, handed it back to the church, and says, since you are the one supposed to have dominion in the first place, I'm giving it back to you so that you can use it now to displace the enemy. Which means, in essence, we were seated in heavenly places for the purpose of unseating principalities and powers. It's our privilege to rule. It's our honor to rule, and it's our assignment to rule. And so when we understand this in the heavenly places, that means the believer, we are the highest ranking spirit beings in that realm. We carry an authority far above principalities and powers. So we're not necessarily supposed to be praying about the enemy. We are supposed to be casting him out. And so the enemy is not to be prayed about. The enemy is to be cast out. And so we are to use our authority to displace him, whether it be in our lives, in our families, in our cities, states, and nations. And it's time for the great removal project to happen in the body of Christ. It is time for it.
What'll happen when this great removal project occurs?
What will happen is we'll have things shift in the earth as a result of what happens in the heavens. When Jesus birthed the church, Paul said something amazing. He said that the church would be the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When he said that, he was talking about in the heavenly places. The believer in the heavenly places is supposed to be keeping spiritual activity that God has not authorized. We are supposed to keep that spiritual activity from happening.
When we return, Isaac will pray that the missing piece, the ascension, will be activated in your life. Be right back.
Isaac Petrie's book and CD set will help you accept heaven's down payment and walk in kingdom authority right now instead of waiting to get to heaven. Transform from spectator to participator on the front lines to crush wicked plans of an enemy dead set against you. Discover how angels are ascending and descending from heaven in response to your words and prayers. Unleash the full ascension power of Jesus in your life, your family, and your ministry as you bring heaven down to earth.
We have an inheritance. There is a full payment that we receive when we get to heaven, but then there is a down payment that God has given us, which means you're supposed to be walking in manifestations of a down payment of heaven on earth, exercising authority over the obstacles and oppositions that we face in everyday life. You have been called to triumph, anointed to win, seated in heavenly places so you can change things that are on the earth.
Don't throw away your inheritance. Call or go online at sidroth.org/10064 with your donation of $36 or more with free shipping and handling for Isaac Petrie's brand new book, The Ascension Dimension, Exercising Kingdom Authority to Triumph Over Circumstances and Opposition. Plus, you'll also get Isaac's exclusive new 2-CD audio set, Heaven's Down Payment.
Sid Roth here with Isaac Petrie, and I have to tell you, his call from a young man was to restore things that are missing to the believers on planet Earth. And he's been talking about something that most believers don't even think about, but it is in the Bible, being seated in heavenly places. So I want to go on and get a little deeper. There's something called a down payment versus full payment. Explain the difference.
Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul said, we have an inheritance. And then Peter says we have an inheritance laid up for us in heaven. And so all my life, once I got saved when I was younger, I got saved, and then they told me I was on my way to heaven. And thank God that that was true. However, they left out the part where we're not just on our way to heaven, but God wants manifestations of heaven on its way to earth. And so God began to deal with me out of the revelation in Ephesians chapter number 1 as to why He sent the Holy Spirit. And the reason Paul said God sent the Spirit is because in heaven we have an inheritance. But until we get to heaven, what God wanted to do for us who are saints on the earth was to send us a down payment of heaven. And it is in the Greek word when it says the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance.
That means down payment.
Yes, it means down payment, which means the Lord did not send the Spirit to us just for chills and thrills and thank God for all of that, but He sent the Spirit as the down payment of heaven, which means when the Holy Spirit came into the earth, the assignment was to bring the inheritance that we have into the earth to us as a foretaste of what we would receive when we got to heaven. And so I like to say it this way, heaven is full payment. There are certain things we can't get until we get to heaven. But when He sent the Spirit came with the down payment, which means there are certain things you get right here, right now. And the Lord said, tell my church, quit wasting the down payment. That if you believe you got a full payment coming in heaven, then walk in that down payment on the earth. And so the Spirit is here saying, I came to bring you a foretaste of heaven. That's what He does when He gives us supernatural gifts of the Spirit. It's a foretaste of heaven. He came to give us healing, which means in heaven, there'll be no sickness. That's full payment. But in the earth,
people say, well, I get to heaven, I'll be healed.
Yeah,
but there won't be any sickness. There's nothing to be healed.
There won't be no sickness in heaven. No reason to be healed in heaven. But the down payment is where that healing happens in the earth. And so we are to be receiving in part things that we will be receiving in full. And I'm telling you right now, there is a generation that is about to walk in the fullness of this down payment. They need to say, I want my money down. I want my down payment. Thank God for heaven. And I'm on my way, but until
you know,
I get
Isaac,
there.
Isaac, we can talk on that area forever run out of good things. But there is a revelation you have that's coming up that's one of my favorite of the ones that I've read about that you teach. And that is, the moment an individual believes in the Messiah and the world calls it saved, the moment that occurs, they were sealed with the Spirit. Ooh. This is the thing that intrigued me immensely.
Yes. The Bible says that one of the things that the Holy Spirit did in Ephesians chapter number 1 is that when we received Him, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That word seal in the Greek means stamped, which means to every believer, you are carrying a seal within your spirit. It is the stamp, the very seal of heaven. It is the mark that's been engraved on your spirit. And demons see it, angels see it, and it is a sign that you are now the property of God. The Amplified Bible says it like this, that seal that happens in your spirit the moment you get saved, that imprint, that stamp means that now I am now property, owned and protected by God. And when we begin to understand this seal, we have authority with this seal. It's what authorizes us. It's what deputizes us to traffic in the spirit dimension as heirs and joint heirs of Christ. And anything with that seal on it, Satan has to bow because it recognizes that we are not our own, that we have been bought with a price and we are the property of the Most High God.
So what happens when Satan can see the seal inside of you, and you don't know your rights, does that seal help you any?
No, you have to know it. See, this is why when the Apostle Paul was working signs and wonders in Acts chapter 19 with handkerchiefs and aprons. And the sons of Sceva were looking at this, saying, he's casting out devils, and it looks like he's using a formula. He's saying, in the name of Jesus, do this or do that. Well, they took it upon themselves to try to cast out devils just like Paul. And they come up to this demon-possessed man and they say, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, come out. And what did the demon say? It said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but you ain't got no seal. Which means they recognize us. They know us, but you've got to know you've got it, because Satan is an outlaw. And he will try to usurp our authority. But when you stand and resist him, the Bible says he will flee from you. You've got to wear it like you are a child of the living God.
You must drive the devil nuts.
Oh, every day. Every day.
There's so many testimonies of people that you prayed for and had the most amazing miracles.
Yes.
But we're running out of time.
Yes.
Pick one and tell me about it.
I'll pick the most recent one, where a young man was dying. I received a phone call, liver failure, kidney failure, lung failure, and I was just going to comfort, because sometimes that is the process, just comfort them. But while I was trying to comfort them, the Spirit of God rose up in me and said, tell him this sickness is not unto death. And I was on the phone and I said, this sickness is not unto death. And I am going to pray. And if you can believe, because he had done some things to destroy his body. But I said, but if you can believe for the mercy of God, that God will forgive you even in the midst of the things you've done, the power of God is about to raise you up. That was about a year ago, and now he is a walking miracle from God. Been out bass fishing, been out doing things because if we can believe, the Holy Spirit's assignment is to minister that down payment of heaven to your life. And if you will receive it, miracles will happen in your life, because it is the assignment of the Spirit in this age to minister them to us.
I believe you can be healed, delivered,
yes,
and know the Messiah, not just know about him, but have your own experiential relationship with him. It starts with a prayer. It starts with saying, Hineni. That's a Hebrew word that means, here my God. Say this prayer with me. Believe it to the best of your ability. Out loud. Repeat it after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
I've made so many mistakes in my life.
So many mistakes in my life.
And I'm so sorry.
And I'm so sorry.
I believe.
Your blood.
Your blood. Washed away my mistakes.
Washed away my mistakes.
And now that I'm clean.
And now that I'm clean.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Thank you for saving me from my sins.
Thank you for saving me from my sin.
I now make you my Lord.
I now make you my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Isaac, I want you to look in the camera and pray that the activator be activated in the lives of the viewers.
Yes.
Now, the activator is the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Now that you are saved, you are now seated in heavenly places. You have entered the ascension dimension, and the Spirit of God wants to use you now to minister the inheritance of Jesus in the earth to you and through you. And if you'll just ask him right now, Holy Spirit, I know you have been sent to me as the down payment of heaven, and I yield to you to give me power, to give me revelation, to give me gifts of the Spirit, and I will not grieve your presence in my life, because the Holy Spirit is what the Father sent to us to keep us until we step into the full inheritance. And I want to encourage every believer, under no circumstance will we ever grieve or deny the work of the Holy Spirit. We have to have him if we're going to walk in what Jesus died for. So be activated right now by the Spirit of God and let him have his way and shift you into the ascension dimension. Amen.
Amen.